Thank you, Glenn, worship team. Pray with me again. Father, thanks for being here with us today. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray that as we talk today about paths, that for those that are struggling with the past, that today might be the first day for the first step in overcoming that past. Father, your word says you desire us to live in freedom and not in bondage. And for some today, bondage is their past. So help us to realize it, recognize it, and take those steps towards you today. And embrace your promise of freedom. We love you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. We want to continue with our study in our series called Hostage. Last week we looked at the issue of habits and how habits can hold us hostage. And this week I want us to look at our past. I truly believe there are several things that hold Christians hostage, that hold them in bondage, that if they could live outside and live beyond and live past and truly live in freedom and to be literally broken from the bondage, their lives would be completely different. Habits as of last week. Next week we're talking about our thinking, our mindset. But think about past in this regard. Our past, either we are stuck in our past or we are frozen by our past. We are either stuck in our past or we are frozen by our past. That's the reality of dealing with the past in one's life. Now, I have to do a disclaimer here. Just because we talk about the past, you might have shown up here this morning thinking, boy, he's going to talk about past, and he's going to talk about all the bad things in life and all the horrible past in life and getting past those. And while that is a part of the conversation this morning, it's not the only part, because some of the things of our past can be very, very good, but they somehow cause us to get stuck and to miss out on what God has for us, his blessing. So let's look at stuck for a moment. Let me show you this picture. Anybody relate to this picture? How many of you have been in that vehicle, okay? Come on now, it's okay. You couldn't get me. I've done that. And several years ago, I had an opportunity out on somebody's farm, and we had the gator, and I was told that it is absolutely impossible to get a gator stuck. I have done the impossible. Right out in the middle of nowhere in the swamp. And it was funny. He kept telling me, just keep on pressing. Just keep on going. Don't stop. I said, I am going, but it's stopping. It's not me. It got stuck. Sometimes experiences in life cause us to get stuck. And these stuck experiences end up identifying themselves in our past. Let me illustrate stuck in a couple of ways. One way that I think of being stuck is being stuck spiritually. Invariably, I'm in a conversation with someone talking about faith and story and conversation and life. And I'll notice something unusual in the conversation, that as they're talking about their faith and they're talking about their story and what God's done in their life, everything that they're talking about is like 10 years old. And yet there's nothing current. it's almost like there was this mountaintop experience in life, and because the mountaintop was so good, they didn't think it could get any better than that, and so they ended up getting stuck on the mountain, and they ended up deciding to build around the mountain. And so for 10 years, they've lived in the past. They've been stuck by this great mountaintop experience. Give you a great example of that. John chapter 1, Nathanael. Philip goes to find Nathanael to tell them that they've seen this Jesus. They've met the one that Moses talked about. And as you're reading in 1 John, you find that Nathanael is coming to Jesus. And in verse 27, it said, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, these are Jesus' words to Nathanael, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me, Nathanael asked, because Nathanael never met him. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that, he added. I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now put yourself in Nathanael's shoes for a minute, his sandals. Nathanael's sitting under a fig tree, and then he hears Philip come and talk to him about this one that Moses talked about, so they had the dialogue about it, and Nathanael comes to Jesus. Before there's ever a word exchanged, Jesus describes Nathanael, and he is absolutely taken back. How do you know me? I saw you under the fig tree before Philip ever came and talked to you. He's taken back. It's almost like it's overwhelming. It's almost like if you're Nathanael, you have a choice. You have a choice right there. I want to go back and live under the fig tree. I want to go back and sit under the fig tree because it's there that Jesus saw me. So I'm going to go back to the fig tree and I'm going to camp out underneath the fig tree because this is where he saw me. This is where the miracle took place. This was really cool stuff. It doesn't get any better than this. I want my fig tree. Do you have a fig tree? No, I'm just kidding. I want to sit under the fig tree. And Jesus says, you believe me? Because I told you I saw you under a fig tree? Oh, there's so much more to life. There's so much to be experienced. You're going to see the angels ascending and descending. You're going to see an incredible work of God. Sometimes we get stuck under the fig tree. Because it was this great, wonderful experience. And we think it can't get any better than that. But I'm here to tell you, there is a great adventure with God ahead of you in your faith and your walk with Christ. Don't say it doesn't get any better than this, because I can promise you it will. It will, even if it gets to eternity, it will. When we trusted Christ, we signed up for a journey. We signed up for an adventure. I'll give you another example. How many of you ever heard of Samuel before? 1 Samuel chapter 7 in there. There's an event with the Israelites. And they're about to get themselves annihilated by the Philistines. And you know what they do? They get right with God. You ever had that moment where you think the world's crashing down on you and you think, oh man, I better get right with God? That's what they were doing. Scripture says that they repented and Samuel brought in a sacrifice and sacrificed, and he was sacrificing while the Philistines came and attacked the Israelites. And God sent this loud noise that confused the Philistines. And they went in different directions and they chased them away, and the Israelites won the battle. And do you know what Samuel did? He found a stone and he placed the stone. And the stone became his Ebenezer. Have you ever heard that word? Not Ebenezer Scrooge, please, but Ebenezer. Do you know what that means? Till now, God has been with us. That rock, that stone, that Ebenezer became a marker for the Israelites of God's provision, of God's miracle in their life. God didn't say, I want you to sit and camp out around the Ebenezer, around the stone, but I want it to be as a marker to remind you of my working and moving in your life and that there's a greater future ahead. There are greater things. There's another adventure around the corner. See, when I think about the past, sometimes really good stuff, sometimes really good spiritual things happen in our life and we want to sit under the fig tree or we want to sing Kumbaya around the Ebenezer. God didn't call us to that. Jesus called us to follow him from one adventure to the next. So you see, it's easy to get stuck sometimes. But what about being frozen? What about being frozen? Sometimes our past freezes us. Now, let me show you this picture. How many of you can relate to that? Some of you thought about it was that cold this morning. I thought it was that cold in the baptistry, but that's another story. But we got in. Look at that. See, I can relate to that because I can think about your feet, they're frozen. Your hands are out and there's a space for your head, but somehow the past has you frozen. You can't move forward. You can't move back. You can't move sideways. All you're doing is just existing because somehow the past has paralyzed you. Somehow the past has literally caused you to freeze up. I pray that today you'll thaw out. I pray to the day that today the ice will crack and that you will know freedom. That you will not let the pain of the past, the hurt and the anguish and the things that have been said, the things that have been done, the things that repeatedly you've been a part of, somehow your past to freeze you up. But that the past will become the past today. That you will know freedom. I want to give you a word, and this is a powerful word because it has so much meaning behind it. And it's the word reconcile. The idea of reconciliation or the purpose of reconciliation is this idea of harmony. It's the removing of hostility. It's the restoring of proper relationship. One of the passages that I've recited many a times with us is in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. It's a staple passage to me. But Paul is speaking about Christ. And he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Somebody this morning needs to realize that in Christ you are new. In Christ, the old has died and the new has come, that in Christ you are a new creation. The past is gone. And all of this is from God who reconciled us, who removed the hostility, who restored the right relationship, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled in order that we can speak of reconciliation. We have been reconciled in order that we can live in reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. If we have been reconciled by God, should we not be able to reconcile ourselves? Now think of this. If we have been reconciled by God, Listen to what he's done. He does not count our sins against us. How many of us go home and repeat throughout the day, or as we're driving to work, or as we're driving and doing errands, or we're sitting at lunch, or we're waiting, or we're texting, or something, and somehow we are repeating this list over and over again of all the bad stuff we've done, all the bad things that we are, how horrible we are, and we have this pity party, and we have this somehow rehearsing all the sins of the past. If God does not hold those sins against you, why should you hold those sins against yourself? Why? Why live stuck? Why live frozen when Christ has called us to live in freedom? When he talks about reconciliation, he literally has removed the guilt. He literally has restored the relationship. He's removed the hostility. He has literally imposed harmony. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. We are committed to the message of reconciliation. Because you have been reconciled, you must live reconciled. Maybe today you need to get out a big pad and write down all of the things of the past that plague you, all the things you said, all the things you did, all the actions you took, all the horrible things you've done. Put it on paper, rip it up, and throw it in the fire. Because he who loved us became sin for us. He reconciled us to the Father. If God has forgiven you, why don't you try forgiving yourself? So what are some steps, what are some things that we can do in order to release the past and break free from the past? How is it that we can live reconciled? I think one of the first steps is to make peace with yourself. This is one of these passages that, man, I have read 100 times, I've preached on it probably as many times, and it all of a sudden hit me one day who God was talking about. He was talking about me. Now, have you ever done that? Have you ever read something, all of a sudden it just dawned on you that God is speaking to you, moi? I read through that, and it just all of a sudden made sense to me. See, in Romans 12, 18, it says, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Because of the tense there, the idea is peacing. As far as it depends on you, be peacing with everyone. I have always interpreted that verse as being those people that are outside of me, those individuals around me, that as far as it depends, be at peace with all the people that are around you. But it dawned on me. You know, I'm one of everyone. I'm a part of everyone. So maybe this is a message that God has for me, that if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with yourself. Why should I be living in hostility with myself? Why should I be angry? Why should I be living with all these regrets? Why should I be living with all this pain of the past? Why should I be rehearsing it over and over and over again? Why am I doing that when God's not doing that? Why should I do that? When God's called me to be at peace with everyone, and I'm going to include everyone with self. Some of you are thinking, he probably needs a psychiatrist about now. Hey, that's not a bad idea. I think we all can use a therapist from time to time. You can say amen to that. Maybe someone to talk out about the hostility that you have for yourself. There is no reason for you to live in hostility with self when you have been reconciled to Christ. So I think part of that first step is being able to make peace with yourself. This next step, I think gets easier with age. I'm finding it much, much easier these days. And that is to think forgetfully. To think forgetfully. It seems the older we are, it's, you know, and you all do this, or somehow you probably would admit to it. I'm admitting to it these days, you know, just transparent here with you. But you know, I walk in the living room looking for something. It's like, Joe, what I walk in here for? You know, like she's supposed to know, but it's like, you know, I forget from room to room what I'm walking into for. But, you know, we all kind of do a little bit of that. But I want to think about for thinking forgetfully intentionally. I want you to listen to this. God says in Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Do not call to mind the former things. Forget the pain. Forget the past. Do not call to mind the former things. Do not intentionally bring them up to have them roll over and over and over in your mind. And notice this next part. Do not dwell on the past. That literally means do not reside in the past. Don't buy a house in the past. Stay away from the fig tree in the past. Get away from the Ebenezer of the past. Don't build a hut by the stone. Don't reside in the past. Now notice, he's told us two things. Forget the former and do not dwell in the past. That's thinking forgetfully. For see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. It is not until, now listen to this, because this is power, this is very important. It is not until I'm willing and stepping out to forget the former things and deciding to pull up stakes from the past that I'm able to see the new things that God is doing. If you want to see the new things that God is doing in your life, you need to literally, forgetfully think. Choose not to think about the former things. Pull up stakes from the places of the past, and then begin to look at the new things. He'll show them to you. Seeing the new things doesn't begin until we think forgetfully. The third thing that I think that comes out of here is to literally to look forward. Paul in the letter of the Philippian church says this, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Did you catch that? I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. He took hold of me in order that I can take hold of that. The purpose, the vision, the future, the adventure, eternity. Christ took hold of you in order that you could take hold of that. But he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He's still struggling with it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'll never see the goal if I'm continually looking back. God has called you to look forward. God has called you to look to the future. God has called you to look at these new things that He has for you because He is doing something new. God has called you to an adventure. So what am I asking you to do today? I'm asking you to make the decision today to get unstuck. I'm asking you to make the decision today to thaw out. I'm asking you today to live in the truth that you have been reconciled to God and He is not holding those sins against you, and that if He is not holding those sins against you, you should not hold them against yourself.
And with that,
begin to make peace with yourself. Start the process of thinking forgetfully and begin the process of looking forward. And remember, until you forget the former things, until you pull up stakes around the past, you'll not be able to see the new things that he's doing. You know what? I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want anything to get in the way of the new stuff that God is doing in me and around me. So today, may today be the first day that you begin the process of experiencing freedom in Christ. May today be the day that you literally get unstuck and unfrozen. And your past becomes exactly what it is, your past. And may you hold on to the future that Christ has for you. So will you pray with me? Father, we recognize this morning that for some there are issues of past that keep running through minds and life. And Father, I pray today that you would help them be released from the past. That today would be the day in which they're unstuck. Today would be the day in which they're unfrozen, they thaw out. And may today be the first day of true freedom in life. While our past will shape us, it does not define us. And so, Lord, we ask to be defined by you. We love you, Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. This morning, a time of invitation, an opportunity for you to respond to perhaps what God is doing and working and leading in your life. Maybe God's speaking to you about literally walking away from the past and embracing the future. Letting go of the past and literally accepting the adventure that he has for you. That all begins with Christ. If you have never given your life to Christ, have you never surrendered, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've never chosen to follow him, to accept the gift of grace upon your life from him, would you do that this morning? Would you simply believe that Jesus is God's Son, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he is the only one that can forgive you, and he stands ready to forgive you, past and all, everything about you to forgive. And as you choose to follow him and repent, he will lead you to an adventure. If you don't know Christ, would you choose today to trust him and place your faith in him? Others, God is calling you to be a part of a church family, a community of faith. He's calling you to be a part of an adventure. I have to admit, it's kind of an adventure from time to time around this place. And perhaps God is calling you to join in the adventure with a family. Every Christian, every believer should be a part of a church community. So this morning, if God's speaking to you about being a part, you come forward as well this morning. We're going to be standing and singing. You just respond by stepping forward, meeting us here in the front, and simply indicating that you want to trust Christ today and place your faith in him, that you want to be a part of the church family. You come. Glenn, would you lead us today? You come as we sing. Let's stand together.
Things made new, friend.
surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment you have brought me to, such a freedom I have found in you. You're the healer who makes all things new. Yeah. Not going back, I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, I'm passing over in you. All things made new, surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. You have risen with the power in your hands. You have given me a second chance. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
People said, amen. I want you to look at those signs for a minute. I want you to repeat that after me. Ooh, go back, please. Go back, go back. Thank you. Are you ready? You make all things new, and you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Forget the past. Embrace the future. And run for the adventure of a life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning, for the opportunity to worship together as a family today. Father, I pray your blessing upon each one here this morning as they leave this place. Lord, may they live out their faith well as they trust you and follow you around every corner, around every curve. And Lord, we claim today freedom, freedom from the past, whether the stuff that's got us stuck or the stuff that's paralyzed us and frozen us. Today, Lord, we're going to be unstuck and we're going to thaw out. And Lord, you are going to be the pilot of our life. We love you, Jesus. For it's your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great morning.